This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, a very special Memorial Day edition of the program. On this program, each week we realize that no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are heroes around you, men and sometimes women who have stories of incredible sacrifice and service for the sake of our country. And we want to honor our veterans for that. We want to preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And we certainly learn a lot along the journey. Usually, we listen to veterans, primarily from World War II, telling us their stories of what they did all those years ago. But each year when Memorial Day rolls around, I think it's important for us to take pause and focus on those who didn't get to come home and tell their stories. So many from World War II, more than 400,000, close to 35,000 from the Korean War who died while serving our country, and another 58,000 during Vietnam, not to mention those who have passed in recent years, all while wearing the uniform of the United States. And every year around Memorial Day, we get to learn about folks who maybe we wouldn't know about otherwise. And in this case, it was a great mystery. I want to welcome in Jim Escal, the author of the book Unforgotten Hero. And we're going to find out who that unforgotten hero was. For many years, he was forgotten, or at least unknown, in your family, even though he has the same name you do. Tell me how you first started this journey that ultimately ended up with this phenomenal book here, Unforgotten Hero.
It all started one day. I was about 8 years old. I was kind of rummaging through my parents in their bedroom, looking through the closet, looking through the drawers. I wasn't supposed to be there. I was my guess is I was probably in there looking for Christmas presents my mother hid, as I usually did every year. And I came across this black and white photo showing a man in a flight helmet and goggles, which kind of, you know, piqued my interest because I was in aviation back in those days. And I was kind of curious about who this guy was because I'd never seen him before. So I asked my mother, I said, who is this guy? And she said, oh, well, that's your Uncle Jimmy, your dad's brother. He was an Air Force pilot like your dad, but he never came home from the Korean War. So I was kind of curious. And then when she told me that I was named in honor of him, well, that kind of sparked my interest. I want to find out more about him. I wanted to find out about his role in the Air Force, the Korean War, and I didn't want him to be forgotten like the war itself has become over the years for many people.
The Korean War, famously known as the Forgotten War. But in this case, your Uncle Jimmy wasn't forgotten. He was unknown to you. You'd never even known he existed, right?
No, I didn't know I had an uncle until I saw the picture, and then she told me who he was. He was unknown to me. I had no idea who he was.
Had you known what your father did in the service?
Oh, yeah. I knew about his role in the Air Force. He was a fighter pilot. You know, he's got lots of pictures I saw because, again, with the going to the dresser drawers, you know, he has the pilot wings and all that stuff. So I kind of looked through that. I knew about his role, but I had no idea. He never told me anything about my uncle.
So Uncle Jimmy, this is a whole revelation to you, and I think it's important for people to hear your story because so many folks, maybe they've lost a relative and they know nothing about what that relative did in the service, whether it's World War II or Korea or Vietnam. And the bottom line is if you set out to discover some information, you never know where that trail is going to lead. And I think your story certainly underscores that. So you get this curiosity piqued as an 8-year-old. When did you start to do something about it and start to discover more and more information about what your uncle did?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the summer with my grandfather. And of course, he had all the, you know, he had a scrapbook of old newspaper articles based on my uncle's pilot training days. He kept all the newspaper clippings and stuff. So I'd spent some summers with him quite a few times. I'd go up, help him with the farming and stuff like that. I'd come back to his house. And while he's kind of, you know, relaxing in the chair there, I just kind of peek at these photographs that happened to be on an old, like a phonograph set in his living room. And I was kind of curious, so I asked him, I said, do you have any, like, did he get any medals? Are there any, like, photos I could look at? So he kind of helped me with that. So I kind of had a few things to look at from that point. And as time went on, like, I looked at some more pictures in the scrapbook, and then my mother happened to show me some old letters from him, so I kind of know what squadron he was in. I finally found out what group he was in. And one thing led to another year by year, but it took a while. It took a while to get there, piece by piece.
But what was driving it for you? Why was it so important for you to discover this information?
I guess it was just curiosity for me. It wasn't like I lost my father. It was my uncle, but it was still somebody I wanted to know, especially somebody I was named after. I wanted to know who he was. It's not so much how he died, it's about how he lived. What was his life about? you know, what kind of personality did he have when he was in the Air Force? What kind of pilot was he? Was he good? Was he bad? And then I just looked at these pilots' class books, and I saw all these faces of these young guys that happened to know him at the time. And I said, man, if I could only talk to them, find out how what my uncle was like, what kind of pilot was he? So that just kind of drove me. It's that curiosity factor.
Sure. So take us on that journey. And, you know, your book certainly fleshes this out. And the book has quite a bit of information about his upbringing in rural California in the San Joaquin Valley and some of the things that he went through. But you start out knowing next to nothing about him. Well, you didn't even know he existed.
Mm-mm.
What about your family, though? Did your family know anything about his decorations, his death, some of the details of his service in the Korean War?
I'm pretty sure my dad knew. But he was so busy raising a family of five. He was self-employed. So he really never, paid a lot of attention to it on a daily basis. My grandfather knew, but he was kind of he didn't say too much. So I don't know if he's kind of holding a lot of back, because he had a problem when my uncle disappeared and became MIA. He just kind of just withdrew himself. So he still has a little, memory every time you mention something.
Sure.
So, but I just went from that point on. I just, just a little bit here, a little bit there. But this was the days before the internet, of course.
Yeah.
So I just took whatever material I could find as they found it. I really wasn't aggressively seeking it, because when you're a young teenager, especially, you got your own things, school and whatever.
Sure.
And so you get things that, pop in here once in a while.
So when you had opportunity, a piece becomes clearer here and another piece there. And I think it's important what you said about your grandfather, because that's part of this story. When we think about Memorial Day and we think about all the Americans who've given their lives for our country, it's not just that person and that person's sacrifice. Their families sacrifice. Their families are changed forever. And it's so hard for parents who lose a child in war. And you saw that in your grandfather's experience. And I'm sure you're getting a taste of this as you go along this journey. And ultimately, you found out a lot of stuff that your family really didn't know, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, they didn't have his records, his Air Force records. I guess they just didn't want to get them, I guess. I have no idea. I finally got his Air Force records. I put those pieces together. I bought my first computer. I could do a lot of research. And I just happened to see a website that there was a squadron picture with the names of these pilots. And it just happened to be put on there by one of his squadron mates, which I didn't know at the time. And that's why I could do all my research. I sent letters to everybody. I just mailed out the old-fashioned way. Just put stamps on. I was lucky in many cases.
You found folks who had served with your uncle.
Yes.
Well, help us understand the story. I mean, we can't read page by page through your book, and we wouldn't want to spoil all of it anyway, because some folks are going to want to find it, Unforgotten Hero. You can look it up on Amazon.com. So in learning about your Uncle Jimmy, what would be that picture if you had to tell us in a nutshell who he was, the kind of person he was, the things that stand out about the picture you've developed of him? Who was he? What kind of guy was he? What was he all about?
I found out he was a very people-oriented person. One lady who knew him in elementary school said he never knew a stranger. He was always helpful. He'd loan out, like when he had his car, he'd loan out to whoever needed it for a drive or someone to pick up some groceries. He helped elderly people if necessary. So he was a very outgoing person who was a studious person, unlike my dad, who didn't care for schoolwork too much. But my uncle was very straightforward. I mean, he had a seriousness. He had a goal that he wanted to do something to get out of the farm life. He wanted to fly since he was 5 years old. So he had a determination, a drive.
And he achieved that goal. He became a jet fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force, flying the F-86, one of the early jet fighters. And as you started to learn more and more, what did you come to understand about what he was doing over there in the Korean War? What kinds of missions was he flying, and how dangerous were they?
From the letters, I found out he was from a fighter bomber squadron, which meant not only, they had a possibility to go air to air to fight the MiGs, but his role was air to ground, which was the hardest and the most dangerous missions. So, they could go dive bombing, they could do skip bombing, they go strafing, everything low to the ground, they have machine guns firing against them, etc. And they lost quite a few good pilots too. So it was pretty dangerous.
So you start out knowing that obviously he never came home, but also knowing his body has never been recovered. And I don't know if a lot of people out there realize that because North Korea is still a communist regime that is closed off really to the rest of the world, that there are so many Americans whose bodies have never been recovered, and your uncle's is one of them. So there's a mystery in this whole thing. Did you set out thinking ultimately you were going to solve that mystery and find a way to bring him his remains home?
The thought crossed my mind, to be honest with you, but I really wasn't focused on that. I just wanted to know who he was, mm-hmm. and what happened to him, and trace from the beginning to the end. Now, if that came along, that'd be really nice. And I was hoping so maybe somebody would tell me. I put letters to the government offices, et cetera, and other people that were expert in the field would help me out. But there's no – it was like a dead end basically.
Mm-hmm. You know, so far.
Yeah, so far. So hopefully maybe down the road something will open up. But North Korea, like you said, it's a closed country. And I know there's people here in our country would want to go over there and to search. And I'm sure they would find, you know, the remains of these pilots or other soldiers for that matter. But the doors close. So it just mattered when the doors could open and going in. So,
well, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are hoping with you and praying that those doors do open. But you have developed so much satisfaction and you've done so much for your family. And in sharing this story with others, touched a lot of lives. How has his story touched you? When you think about what he did, what are the things that you discovered were meaningful to you and might be meaningful to those folks listening right now to paint a picture of who this guy was and what he did for our country?
One thing I've done was find out how sacrificial he was, as was the other pilots in the squadron. I mean, they didn't think about themselves. They were a team. They worked as a team. The focus was to do it for their country, per se. Not for themselves, not for glory, like some of those guys that did the interceptor work, the MiGs. It was like a one-on-one. But these guys were a team, and they acted like a team. They worked as a team, and it's always to fight, to win, and that's what they went out for, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you started this journey not even knowing he existed. Again, not knowing anything that happened to him. You find out that he actually was highly decorated. Maybe a lot of folks haven't heard of the Soldier's Medal. We've had some guys on this program that have earned that, but it's just about as high as a Distinguished Flying Cross, a Silver Star. It just is something awarded for a non-combat situation. So what did he do to earn that Soldier's Medal?
He and his flight leader were coming back from mission, and they're taxiing their aircraft to find the revetments to park the aircraft when he spotted an APU, which is an auxiliary power unit, was hooked to an F-86. I guess another F-86, I guess, discharged a 50 caliber round accidentally and pierced the gas tank of the APU, which set it ablaze. And so my uncle, what he did, he just stopped his plane, got out, unstrapped himself, and just rushed right into the fire. And what some guys were trying to, airmen were trying to get the thing, so he took them out of the way, and he unhooked it and pushed the unit out of the way to clear it, otherwise it would damage the plane, and who knows what would happen.
So he put his own life in jeopardy, or at least risked injury, to save equipment and potentially other airmen?
No, well, that's what his squadron commander stated. He just said he didn't think of his own personal affairs, nothing. He just rushed right in through the flames, just unplugged it and do what has to be done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was the way it was.
As you're learning these little tidbits about his life, and again, we're talking to Jim Escal, author of the book Unforgotten Hero, about his uncle, who he never knew existed till he found a photograph of a Korean War pilot who never made it home from the Korean War. As far as what did happen to him, in some ways, you still really don't know. I mean, you don't know for sure. You don't have hard and fast records of what happened to him when his plane went down, but you do know his plane did go down. What can you tell us about the circumstances of his final mission?
It's called Mission Bromide 21. It was an armed reconnaissance mission. It was on June 19, 1953, and the flight leader of that mission was the wing commander, four airplanes, and he was number three, and their job was to go bomb a personnel shelter that morning. And then after they drop the bombs, go to the secondary target, separate into elements, and scout around for any kind of trucks, convoys that were bringing the stuff up on the roads. Because it was during that time when the Chinese, North Koreans were bringing all this stuff up because they knew the truce was going to be signed soon. So they're looking for any opportunities, targets of opportunity, and that's basically where he got hit.
And how close to the armistice or the ceasefire?
About 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yeah.
If he had made it another 5 weeks, he probably would have come home. So on this mission, you know that his plane was shot down.
They're not sure because no one saw it being shot down, but they're assuming it was by automatic weapons fire since he was so low.
But they did find pieces of the plane.
Yeah, they found pieces of the plane. They found the tail section, part of a wing. So they knew it crashed.
So you know where the plane was found?
Yes.
But your uncle was never found?
Nope. No, they never found the body. No evidence of a parachute when his wingman was circling. They did find the airplane, but there was no evidence of a body anyplace nearby the plane or any place. And it was too dangerous. They couldn't send a helicopter rescue crew because North Korea and the weather started to sock in too because it was during that time of the typhoon season. So there was a double problem there.
So where does that take you? I'm sure people are listening. Okay, we know his plane went down. They found the tail intact. They found some other pieces, but there's no body. There's no evidence of the pilot whatsoever. What kind of possibilities run through your mind when you consider that evidence or lack thereof?
That's where the mystery part comes in. Where is he? Did he go down with the plane? Did he bail out and no one saw him? Did he get captured? Was he sent to the Soviet Union, like some reports have stated? We don't know. That's the mystery part. You know, that's the hard part about MIA. You don't know what the status is. And even over the months after the war ended, or at least the armistice was signed, my grandfather would get these little reports. Well, he wasn't on a list of POWs that were repatriated. We have no evidence, etc. So, you know, it's like an open case, basically, for me.
And you mentioned this idea, and there's been a lot of signs pointing to there were American servicemen, and especially pilots, who ended up in this situation. Not necessarily your uncle. You don't know if he was one, but we do know that there likely were American pilots who were taken from North Korea back to the Soviet Union for intelligence purposes.
Yep.
So in your mind, your uncle could still be in the Soviet Union. I mean, that's a possibility, right?
It's possible. It's possible.
How old would he be?
Today, he'd be in his late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
If he was still alive.
So he could have died that day.
Yes.
He could have lived for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
That's the hard part. You don't know. He could have survived and been captured. He could have died in a POW camp that wasn't on a registry. He could have been taken someplace out of the country. I've heard reports even they took POWs into China even. So, it's like I said, it's a big mystery.
But could there be clues to that mystery in a letter written one day before fighter pilot Jimmy Escal disappeared behind enemy lines in Korea? We're going to explore that when we come back. You can find Jim's book, Unforgotten Hero, on Amazon.com. I also have it linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. Right back with more of this Memorial Day special after this. You know, one of the things I appreciate so much about the veterans we meet on Hometown Heroes is that they're real. A sincere and genuine spirit really makes an impression on me, and that's why I'm such a big fan of Educational Employees Credit Union. It was EECU that spearheaded the launch of Central Valley Honor Flight with an initial donation of close to $25,000, and the giving did not end there. More than 200,000 members know EECU represents smarter banking, but it's not just about being smart, it's about the heart. I've worked with the folks at EECU for years, and I've watched them put their money where their mouth is, supporting their credit union members right where they live in hometowns up and down Central California. From sponsoring first-class Educator of the Year ceremonies to taking the lead in sending World War II veterans on an unforgettable journey, my friends at EECU keep proving that you are at the heart of everything they do. Go to myeecu.org to see what EECU can do for you, or just walk into any branch. And while you're there, if you enjoy this show, tell them thanks for supporting Hometown Heroes.